Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast, episode 216. I am your host, Rob Cope, and today we are going for a walk with Corey Dick. This is how he has managed to squeeze in some time for us. So I hope you enjoy the show. Before we start, let's have a quick listen to Corey's track, Warehouse, from his new album, Sun Swells. Mr. Corey Dick, sir, it is a pleasure to welcome you to the Jazz Podcast. How are you doing?
Yes, mate, we did it. Goodness, I'm not bad. It's carnage over here.
Tell me what's going on. First of all, for our listeners, as this is an audio show, Corey is outside, so whatever's going on inside must be messy.
Yeah, we've kind of got two insides where we've just moved to. Right. One, Ian Jerd, father of trumpeter Laura Jerd, is going to convert it into a studio for me. He's come out of retirement.
He's coming out of retirement to convert your house.
Yeah, breaking news, Ian Jerd is back.
That's incredible.
Look out. So he's a bit of a hero, master of his craft. So I'm a lucky boy, lucky drummer.
That's brilliant. What's he going to do then? Talk us through the building work.
We got this garage, and a previous owner of the house had like loads of motorbikes, so it's just got far too much space. I don't need more than one vehicle. We're going to convert it. Keep one garage spot. You know.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Coveted parking space.
How long will it take him?
Hopefully about a month.
This is incredible.
But, you know, realistically, it takes as long as it takes. And then I'm kitted out for recording and getting deep into practice again. Wishful thinking, says the father of two. But
father of two? Oh, my God, you've leveled up big time.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Wow. So, Corey, tell our wonderful listeners a little bit about yourself before I get any deeper into the joys of fatherhood.
Sure thing. I'm Corey. I'm from Glasgow, kind of grew up playing around Glasgow. I'm a drummer. So when I grew up in Glasgow, there was a lot of there was a really good scene for straight ahead. I luckily found some drummers I could be really inspired by, like Stu Brown, who played last night in London, or Doug Hoff, amazing drummer who went to Birmingham. I moved to London to study at Trinity Laban. I was in pretty nice body of year groups, I guess, with Connor Chaplin in my year and there as well. Then the year above me was Laura Jerd, Elliot Galvin, all these people. Just like all of a sudden, I was surrounded by amazing musicians.
It's amazing that when that happens and you were all there at the same time, just in this incredible melting pot.
Oh, it felt really good. It sure did. And here we are. I just released my second album. Which is called Sun Swells. It's out on all the streamables And if people want to buy that, by all bloody means, I got CDs.
Please go ahead, people.
Yeah. Mostly I'm finding I sell those at gigs. People are really lovely and want like a souvenir. And some people do actually still listen to CDs, we're finding. So that's good. I had a go at vinyl and it got a little bit complicated. Still might happen.
Is that because you have to master it differently to the CDs?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. We worked with a mastering engineer in Sweden, so I've got the master. It's just, oh, geez. Well, life has been a madness. We just moved house and had a second baby, and the first baby turned into a toddler. So this isn't going to be a very glamorous episode, Rob. I'm just going to bring up mundane stuff.
It's supposed to be like a realistic portrayal of life as a jazz musician, and having a toddler and needing to convert your garage so you can even practice is about as real as it gets.
Yeah, yeah. Because we had to move out of our flat in Southeast London due to like noise complaints.
Oh, no, that's awful.
It's gone fine for a while. It all got really unsavory, though. Like, by the end, I couldn't play an acoustic guitar, or my wife couldn't play flute.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Or I couldn't sing some nursery rhymes at the piano with my daughter. It's like, yeah. And the neighbor tried to break down my door. Police got involved. Yeah.
The realities of living in London are really difficult. I had a landlord when I was in Twickenham who was like, he was like, you know, really similar. Like, if I ever hear a sound upstairs in the daytime, like, it's not acceptable that, you know, my office is underneath. You can't be like having people over in the day. You know, it's like, as much.
And then,
yeah, I know. And I would, of course. And then he'd come up and be like, I'm in the middle of meetings. What the hell are you doing up here? Be like, well, just living, you know, just like, just talking at a normal volume. But man, if I played the saxophone when he was in, it was like, he'd like send angry emails and, you know, you just Jeez, like. Well. It's just that kind of environment is so unpleasant to be in as a musician.
Yeah.
You can't do anything creative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, to anyone considering moving to London or a big city to pursue jazz, I know people who have had the exact opposite experience with their neighbors, being like really enthusiastic, like, oh, I love it when you play the piano. I love it when you play the sax. Please keep playing. You're enriching our lives. It's like a live concert for free. You know?
Yeah, that's so wonderful.
This exists. It happens. So there's hope.
There's hope.
By the way, are you getting like wind from my mic?
A little bit, but it's quite nice. It's like live having a walk with Corey Dick.
Yeah, that's maybe a different podcast.
So well, this is wonderful that you've gotten out. Where have you moved to? You don't have to tell us the postcode or anything, but just a sort of general idea.
So I'm in Basingstoke.
Nice.
Which is charmingly self-effacing. Everyone kind of rips it here, is what I'm finding. I've not been here very long, so I don't know what it's all about, but people are so friendly. And I'm like, more than I'm not, just working away, doing all the things. So yeah, it's really close to where I'm doing my business.
Oh, wonderful.
Having a good one.
Tell us, what are you doing, Corey? What kind of things are you getting up to? What's a day in your life?
Well, I'm just a day in my life.
You can choose not to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of building towards things, like quite literally with the garage and come music studio. And a lot of my time is like working on new projects and tours. So I'm like trying to... Well, a couple of things. I got a tour coming up to celebrate this album, so I'm doing a few legs of that. I got like a Midlands tour starting on the 29th of April. And yeah, totally buzzed for that. And also working on a couple of duo projects, one with this guitarist, Tara Cunningham, where we're like improvising, playing, yeah, rowdy soundscapes, maybe
that
a bit groovy.
Really fun.
Bit. Yeah. Well, there's a whole scene for that right now in London, right? Just like turning up and blowing. Another thing that I'm working on that I'm totally buzzed about is this duo with Norman Wilmore, this alto player from Shetland. He's, he's like reinventing the instrument, I reckon. He's like been playing sax and like MIDI organ pedals with his feet. And this sound, like he coming from Shetland, where there's like more fiddle players than people. How's that possible? Some of the sheep play fiddle.
That's a wonderful way to put it.
So he's got this whole folky angle. It's stunning. Just like how he's translated like fiddle music and bagpipe music to the horn. And yeah, marrying that with these lush folky harmonies with his feet.
It sounds incredible, but I also find it terrifying because I'm still trying to just get my head around like the sax as it is, just playing it.
Oh yeah.
If anyone reinvents it, that's going to really spell the end for me at this point.
Oh man, but then do you think it's impossible to do? Do you think it's important to do everything in that kind of linear way? Like I will first master the saxophone and then I will... you know, be a great father. and then I'll, do you know what I mean? I find that practice is most sustainable when you just like follow what's exciting you at that moment. So for me, yeah, I'll be working on Congolese rhythms for, you know, a couple months and then be like, okay, well, I'm not ready to join a Sukus band, but I'm really excited about this now. I'll go and like practice something else and come back to it. That practice has still been done.
Yes, it's under your fingers forever, even if, you know, I love that about practice. Once it's in, and then you don't lose it.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know. When I was in my 20s, I spent a lot of time worrying about trying to master all the Coltrane stuff and Parker stuff. You know, like you kind of feel
heavy.
Like you shouldn't be moving on until you can like play Giant Steps and Moment's Notice in all 12 keys. But then there does come a point where that's so hard that you sort of have to let go and do something else. Otherwise, you're never going to get anywhere.
Totally. Same, maybe we played too much video games when we were kids and we just think that you have to complete the level.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's an amazing way to look at it. Tell us more about the album. Who's on it? When did you record it?
Pre-pandemic, with kind of rock instrumentation at the core, Rob Luft on guitar, Tom McCready on bass. But it's quite a big ensemble with like Matt Robertson on piano, Joe Webb on organ, Joe Wright on tenor, Laura Jird on trumpet. I'm going to forget someone, I know it. Tom Moore on viola, this wicked folky guy. And three vocalists, Alice Sawadzki, Dave Malkin, who produced it, and Mariana Sangita from Norway via Greece. It's like pretty rocky, pretty ruckus. Definitely got the Celtic element. I like it. I still like it, so.
That's the best part, when you like it, like you're meant to like it, you know, and then other people will probably like it too. When did you release it?
So that was just last year, October. I think October. Oh God, so much happened. It was like baby, album, move house again. So I don't know which happened when. It was a very blurry time. But around October last year it came out.
as a remarkable, I moved house with a baby and that was something, but doing it with an album out, just I don't understand how your brain has processed that experience.
Well, I guess the album just kind of took a backseat for a minute, and now I'm touring it rather than having a big fireworks display at the time.
Has it been harder to book gigs for it because you didn't immediately book gigs like as it was released?
I wouldn't say so. Like I've got a good 15, 20 gigs lined up and more in the pipeline. You know, I already had a good rapport with a lot of key promoters around the UK.
Right.
Just from working with like Laura Elliott, Rob Luft. There's kind of an amount of trust in me there already, which is very, very liberating, because there's so many amazing promoters who just don't have like the power that other promoters have. You know, I think a lot of the funding is, I'm out of my depth talking about funding, to be honest. I'm trying to self-fund essentially.
Right.
And get help from Arts Council if possible, but that's been declined once. So, yeah.
What grant did you apply
for?
We'll
see.
If you don't mind me asking.
Oh gosh, I should know what they're called, shouldn't I?
I'm just curious because it's so hard.
Arts under 30,000. Yeah, it's very involved. That was every spare minute for a couple of weeks I was doing that.
Oh, that's so painful. Sometimes I worry it's just quicker to get another job than it is, you know, and just do the hours like getting paid for them, because the funding, the forms, it does seem an incredibly difficult area of our profession to be successful. Nice. In.
Well, what's your alternative job then?
Well, sometimes I'm like, if someone offers me a few hours at like a prep school or something, I'll take it, but I'll assign the money to something I want to do with it rather than just sort of have it, you know?
Nice.
So I actually do that quite often in my work, where it's like, or even if it's just an extra student, and it's like, but it's every week, so it's like, it's roughly like £900 a year, and then it's like, well, how much I could do a day's recording with that money on this 30-minute kid, but then I can't sort of consider it as my income for the whole year.
Right. Wow, that's organized though. I like that.
Yeah, and then at the end of that year I'm like, okay, I'll either put them on the income now. I have actually done that a few times, and you know, when I've needed extra money, and I've just, I mean, I should learn about funding, but I'm confused. I'm confused enough already, so I've been avoiding it in so far in my life. But it's really nice that you've will you try again despite the fact they declined?
Oh, you got to try. Just got to be robust. Every day is a rejection of some kind. And oh God, don't put that in.
Oh, that's so funny. No, but that is a lot of, I was thinking about my career. Like I had a gig yesterday, which is already really exciting for me. And then I was thinking like half the reason I'm there is just because of the resilience of not going away, you know?
Just yeah, like, totally.
Like stay in the profession long enough, someone's gonna have to book me.
Yeah. If you took every setback to heart, then God, it'd be hard to last very far.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I've had plenty setbacks, unsavory moments.
Mm.
But it's all good in the end. Like when you just get to moving particles around at the gig. Oh, I saw some great graffiti in a toilet the other day. Said music is just gay air. I was christening that.
Wow, that's great. Who wrote? Oh, well, you don't know who wrote that.
I don't know.
If you're listening and you wrote that on the toilet, let us know. Get in touch. We want to talk to you. We want to congratulate you. The only one I distinctly remember one. I think it was in the North London Tavern where it said, "You look to the right," and it said "toilet tennis." Look left, and then when you look to the left, it said "look right." And I did it, and then I was like, "Oh, I see what's happened here." But it did amuse me. So
you've been had.
Yeah, I was. I felt used. Couldn't believe it. So how has it been being a parent and trying to juggle being a musician?
I don't really know yet. I think it'll need a couple of years for me to get any sense of perspective on this madness. It's demanding. Love it. Totally love it, and it's hilarious at the moment because I'm in the middle, in the eye of the storm, don't know what's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. How old are the two that you have?
I got 2 and a bit and 6 months.
Fantastic. And your wife is a flautist, isn't she?
She certainly is, and a music therapist.
Oh, lovely. I did not know that. Well, there you go. So is it difficult to juggle when you're both trying to kind of have a career in music and you've got a family at the same time? How does that go for you guys?
We haven't had to really answer that question yet because, she's been on maternity leave, something which as a self-employed person in the UK is not available to fathers. Paternity
no,
leave.
That's outrageous, isn't it? There's no paternity leave, statutory pay for men at all.
Yeah. Not a universal situation that.
No.
But yeah. Nonetheless, that means, I've had to remain in work, which I love, so that's okay. But and then we had pandemic where you couldn't really work. And I just got pregnant again. So we were only very briefly both working with the little one, my oldest, in nursery for a bit. So yeah, we don't know. I don't know. Can we reschedule this for 2 years time and I'll answer all your questions properly?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I would love to. Me and my wife are both freelance musicians and we're just taking it in turns. This week she's working Monday and Wednesday. I'm working Tuesday and Thursday. Friday, the child is in nursery and by miracle, we don't have school either of us. So we're just going to rehearse, practice, play. We got one day to get everything done for about 6 months worth of gigs or work, So it's sort of, I think being both freelance, when it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's terrible, because I was thinking the other week, my daughter, they call me up to say that she's ill and has to be picked up from nursery. So I go to get her, but I still have to pay the full day of nursery fees. But now I'm also not at school, so I'm not getting paid. I can't charge for these lessons. So I'm paying nursery. I'm losing money. I'm sweating.
It's impossible.
Yeah. 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 It is. It's an unfortunate situation for sure.
It sucks.
That's a great way to put it. It just totally sucks. Yeah. in other days when we're both home in the middle of the day, you're like, oh, this is wonderful. We're all at home. How great is this?
Yeah, sure.
So bizarre.
Ah, carnage.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to finish this show with a song from your new album. What would you like us to play? It's a great way of turning around on you that I haven't prepared anything.
No worries. Yeah, you got an empathetic soul here. How about that features that Norwegian vocalist, Marianne Sangita? She's totally worth checking out in her own right anyway. But yeah, I'm really chuffed with how that tune came out. It gives a good overall flavour of the album.
What's this tune called? Sorry, I missed that.
It's called Sinking.
Thinking. Fantastic. Corey, thank you so much for letting us come have a walk with you. I have absolutely loved it. great to chat.
My pleasure.
And catch up. Let's do this again. Let's keep doing it because I enjoyed it so much.
That's kind.
Yeah, this has been incredible, man. Thank you so much.
All
right, here we go. Nice one, man. I'll speak to you soon.
Peace and love.
Woke up yesterday, head filled to the brim, couldn't keep it in. Decided to let it out, let it get some air. And that's where we met, me and her. She told me stories about her glory days, and I listened like I'd known her my entire life, which coincidentally I had. Although I didn't know it, she knew. She told me there were things inside that I couldn't hide anymore, and she told me to reach in and grab them, pull them out. Let them grow like plants grow from seeds and become trees. Let them breathe. Let them breathe. Sinking into things that take over makes me